This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Big, big story today featuring our former Prime Minister and Pakan MP a month after he claimed trial to three charges of criminal breach of trust and one charge of abuse of power. There's more. More charges levelled against Najib Razak. Right.
So this is the MP who did not make it to Parliament today, I'm assuming. The highest ranking Malaysian politician in Malaysian history to face criminal charges.
It's crazy.
No world famous bulging BFM goodie bag if you guess the answer.
Oh, I thought no bulging BFM goodie bag for him.
For him.
That's also true. I don't think he needs it right now.
Yeah, so former Prime Minister Najib Razak slapped with three more criminal charges for money laundering offences today over the transfer of 42 million ringgit from SRC International into his bank account.
Yeah, I mean, so this is going to be a very long and slow process, folks. I mean, this isn't, you know, if we were a banana republic, we would have just rounded them up after the night of the election and thrown them straight into jail. But as the new government keeps promising, they want to follow the rule of law. So
Which is not a bad thing.
No, I'm sorry. I know if my tone kind of, that was a very misplaced tone.
As the new government is insisting on doing.
Following the rule of law. What is that? No. I mean, they are following the rule of law, is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
And essentially, what we're going to have after this, of course, is we're going to have a hearing about the a gag order, following which we're actually going to know when the actual trial dates are set. There were some dates that were bandied about earlier at the last hearing, but that's actually not confirmed.
You know how sometimes with these very long, drawn-out cases, people lose interest? I don't think that's going to be the case here.
Well, I don't know about that. He had 30 supporters outside.
Right.
The first time there were more.
His support posse, I think. I think in there was Lukman Nur Adam, the individual who lost the Sungai Kandis by-election. On Saturday. Also, actress Eli Suryati Omar has been a very vocal supporter of
very
his.
Very staunch, yes.
I don't know. I do feel as though attention is being drawn away a little bit. But do you think it's telling that at all that he has very few supporters outside the courtroom, for example?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where I suppose people, it's hard to be in the minority, right? And it's hard to be a vocal minority when in the face of these sorts of numbers, in the face of the sort of public opinion, I think.
Also, I mean, it's one, you can see how MPs in Parliament are reacting to it. Even his own cousin, Hishamuddin Hussein, wasn't really staunch in his support. He just said, you know, let's see how all of this plays out.
Let's get the facts.
To conclusions. Yeah. You know, we will follow the letter of the law. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, and I feel to a degree he also doesn't help his own case in that there's very little interaction. I mean, if you look at his Facebook page, for example, you know, there will be statements. Last night there was a statement on GST, SST and the rest of it. But there's very little interaction. So you have a lot of quite nasty comments coming after a statement that he makes on his Facebook page. And it's you know, it's completely blind to anything he's mentioned in his status.
I don't think he's allowed, though, to interact in that level at that level right
not
now.
Not that he's not allowed.
By his lawyers, that's what I mean.
Yeah, but that's the thing, isn't it? It's I mean, this has been his modus operandi for the longest time. It's not as though there was a lot of interaction when he was in power either.
And I think that makes it harder for, I mean, if you're talking about supporters who are going to have to be going against the tide of public opinion, they need to feel pretty impassioned about it. And I think it's hard to feel impassioned with so little interaction from the person that you're supposedly defending.
Yeah, well, that's true. I don't know whether any, I mean, do you feel that you can share your thoughts with us, actually? 03-771-09000 is the number. The lines are open.
But there's also the question of whether Najib Razak himself ever had loyal supporters the same way other grassroots politicians have, because everything was kind of handed to him on a silver platter from the time he was in his 20s. He was the son of Tun Razak and he was handed the Menteri Besarship of Pahang. He never really had to fight for anything the way some of our other politicians have had to.
There's no cult of personality as such.
Around him, exactly. And that, and what that means is, you know, whether people actually have friendship and loyalty to you or whether they're your friends because you're in power and you can do them favours.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's nice
to me that is telling, because he was in power for quite a long time.
Yeah. Yes, if not as Prime Minister, actually as a politician, as a Menteri Besar, as a minister, for almost all of his adult life, yeah. right? We're going to cross over to lawyer Lim Chee Chow, former chairman of the Kuala Lumpur Bar Criminal Practice Committee. Chee Chow, thank you for joining us on the show. So Najib has pleaded not guilty to the fresh charges of laundering and he's claimed trial. He was also allowed an extension of a previous 1 million ringgit bail from two earlier charges. What happens next for him?
Normally, for money laundering case, it will be a separate proceeding. It will start with the previous four charges first, which is the CBT and abuse of power, and then they come to this money laundering proceeding. Reason why is that the money laundering proceeding is, I can say, is a parasite offense, which you need a home offense to be convicted first, then only you can come to that. So basically, you need to establish that they have Najib have committed CBT and also abuse of power, okay, any of the two, four charges, then only you can come to this money laundering proceeding.
As you mentioned, Chee Chow, there were three counts of criminal breach of trust, or CBT, and one count of abuse of power. But now there are some amendments to previous charges. And one of those today was that the mention of Najib as a public servant was taken out from the second and third counts of the CBT charges. Is there any significance there?
There is no significance because under Section 409, either a public servant or an agent. So he can act as an agent or a public servant. But I remember during the interview in the Backstreet Grill, I actually anticipate the charge to be under 405. And that if it's under 405, then if they amend it to 405, then it will be any in any capacity.
Can we just quickly clarify what you meant by that, in any capacity?
In any capacity means that he can be either advisor of one MDB, I mean under the role of advisor, or under, because he's the Prime Minister of Malaysia and he committed, using his power to commit such acts.
Okay, so I guess one unique aspect of money laundering charges is the fact that the convicted party is imposed a fine relevant to the amount involved in addition to jail time. And I didn't know this until I read this, right? Here in Malaysia, it's a fine of 5 million ringgit or a minimum five times the value of the unlawful proceeds, whichever amount is higher. Now, given that this is such a staggering amount, I mean, thinking about it, I'm blue in the face. Periwinkle shade of blue, mind you. If Najib is convicted, we're talking five times of 42 million ringgit here. How is that massive amount supposed to be paid for?
Yeah, that's a huge amount. I think it is a record-breaking amount. But if Najib is convicted and unable to pay the amount, usually the fine amount will be converted into a jail time imprisonment.
All right. And how is that jail time determined when you convert it this way?
It depends on the discretion of the judge. But with that amount, I can't give any suggestion.
So what's next for the other individuals involved in the money laundering probe tied to 1MDB? Because recently we found out that around 1,000 names were being investigated under the probe.
Yep, the 1,000 names being investigated, some of them are potential witnesses and some of them are involved in the probe. So I think now, as per now, I think the enforcement agent have to either MACC or the police have to identify whether each individual, whether they are witnesses, the main witnesses, or is part of the probe.
And there'll be separate proceedings for them, I presume?
Yes, there will be a separate proceedings, maybe on an identical charge, like it can be enforced under 409 also, as an agent for Najib.
And Najib has also applied for a full gag order, which is scheduled to be heard this Friday. Do you think it's likely for this order to be granted?
I personally think that the court should not. I mean, I don't know what the court order is, but I think the court should not give a full gag order because it is like what all the experts, legal experts have given their opinion. that it is impractical, very impractical to give a full gag order. How the authorities will monitor all this?
I guess the thing is, earlier there were some uncertainties around the scope and the boundaries of the gag order. Do we already have some sort of firm definition of what it actually means?
The definitions of gag order is already there, but it depends on the judge, the court order, whether what kind of order that the court thinks fit and suitable.
This is, of course, going to be a very closely followed case and story. There's so much public interest in it. What significant developments should we be on the lookout for?
I think the lookout will be on what you have asked me just now, on the 1,000 names. So who are the potential witnesses and who will be charged next? I mean, that will be very important, which will also affect these few cases here.
Thank you very much for your perspective, Chee Chow. That was Lim Chee Chow, former chairman of the Kuala Lumpur Bar Criminal Practice Committee, weighing in on the fresh money laundering charges against Najib Razak today. This is a case we're going to be following very closely as and when everything unfolds. And of course, as you know, if Najib Razak actually does get convicted, I hope they at least have some nice periwinkles for him in prison. It'll brighten up the joint quite a bit. We've got Tom Waits coming your way with Downtown Train.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.